I'm Frank Vaughn. It's October 21st, 2024, and we're going to have some tea together. I don't normally drink tea, but I am cold. Today is day four of fasting. I think I alluded in a previous video as to how I was going to fast for 40 days. I've elected to go for 8 first, so I'm not going to eat again until Saturday morning at the earliest. I may go longer. Who knows? The BC election. We should never have electronic machines of any kind involved in elections. There's absolutely no need whatsoever. Paper balloting works. Hand counting works. Before the eyes of poll workers and scrutineers, that is the ultimate form of accountability. All federal elections, because I've heard the excuse used that the reason BC uses tabulators is it's too hard to count votes. Federal elections in this country are done by paper, they're counted by hand, and we have the results the same night as we have all along. And as a person who's worked federal elections and as a person who ran in a federal election and lost, our federal elections in this country are fairly conducted, and I trust them. There might be a few votes that slip through the cracks, but it's hard for me to conceive of how, because most poll workers just, and even the people I met at Elections Canada, on both sides of the transaction, whether I was running or whether I was participating and working the election, they seem to be motivated by election integrity, and the system works. That being said, it's not to say that electronic tabulators automatically equal cheating, because that's not the case. But I think if you insist on having tabulators, you should have mandatory recounts randomly spread out throughout the jurisdiction that's being, where the election's being held. So regardless of whether or not the spread is 7,000 votes or 500 votes, there should be a random selection that gets a recount. Because what we found with electronic tabulation is they introduce a 10 times greater error in vote counting, a discrepancy, than hand counting does. And we know this. So I'm not really sure where the idea comes in that they're efficient, but you can safeguard against that by having random recounts and also mandatory recounts for every spread that's under 500 votes. That's what I think should happen. Well, actually, what I think should happen is they should eliminate them altogether. But anyway, we don't have the full results yet, and we're not, because we have mail-in voting too, which is another thing I don't think should exist. I don't think mail-in voting should even be an option. Same-day voting or early voting, but no mail-in. But we're doing that these days, so we have to wait a week for official election results. But even if the BC Conservative Party does not form a government, it's still a monumental accomplishment. The fact is, common sense is back on the ballot. The previous iteration, the Liberal Party, the factors that came together to actually spawn the BC Conservative Party's rise in the last 2.5 years, have fundamentally changed opposition politics in BC. You now have things on the slate that just weren't there before, and it's taken place in a really short amount of time. So, I mean, these people should take a victory lap. Even if Rustad doesn't become premier, BC's on its way to figuring it out. And the other thing that was dispelled in the BC election is this idea that it's, which I've been highlighting since 2019 or before, that immigrants all vote Liberal and all vote left. It's not true. That's why Surrey turned blue. Most heavily immigrant population. They don't like Soji. They don't like rampant crime. So this is another reason why Toronto looks like it's going to wipe the Liberal Party out. This is why the Liberals lost St. Paul's. Because the people they bring in actually have family values. And regardless of the issues of mass immigration, which I have highlighted and are very real, the burdens on the healthcare system, burdens on education, the problem with housing, how it drives homelessness, it does all these things when you handle it wrong, doesn't change the fact that most of the immigrants that are coming in are socially conservative, and they are driven bonkers by the idea that their kids are being encouraged to have sex changes in public schools, and that it's somehow valid. Now listen, the Saskatchewan election is coming up, and I just want you to understand, it's not just about the two children, which the NDP named. The Mo government didn't name them. The SAS party MLAs didn't name them. The subject was talked about in generic terms until the NDP decided it was politically useful to out their own candidate as the parent of these kids. It's my opinion that when a parent engages in the conversion of their children, when a parent engages in getting them on hormones and puberty blockers, that's child abuse. That's a common sense position. But now, promotion of that is the official policy of the NDP, and I want to show you. It's not just that. In this picture, now I've cropped out the faces of the kids and the candidates and NDP members themselves, but these are two people that are running for the Saskatchewan NDP. This isn't some problem outside the province. This isn't the radical leftism of the East. This is right here in this province, and they think it's appropriate to take their little kids to a drag show. Most of you watching this know this is wrong. You need to speak up, and you need to really think about this when you go to the polls. Because if the NDP squeaks in, this now becomes state policy. And before you know it, and this is not hyperbole, we have Billboard Chris, good friend and a hero. Kids are being taken from non-affirming parents. Here's one family's fight to get their son back. A Christian, African-American, military family in Maryland has lost their autistic son to the state because his parents refused to say he was a girl. Which brings up the other factor. This gender madness targets kids with special needs and girls far higher than the background population because they are the most vulnerable. And the people who promote this, they're predators. They're preying on your children. They may not be sexual predators, but they're preying on their vulnerabilities to convince them that they can make a delusion real, that interrupting puberty and sterilizing themselves is a legitimate form of self-expression before the child is even an adult. Now, how long do you think it is? We're already doing this. We're already having the conversation. How long do you think it is before the age of consent can be lowered? Why can't a 60-year-old man have a 12-year-old girlfriend or boyfriend? Why not? It's just another legitimate form of sexual expression. Like, this is where we're going, folks. You need to pay attention because this is now mainstream NDP politics. And when the NDP tells you who they are, you should believe them. When they show you, they go to drag shows. When they do this to their own families, they are the anti-Saskatchewan party. Look, can we have one place in this nation where this is the norm, where we can have families, healthy demographics, kids that are not sexualized, that are not programmed from grade school to believe that, first off, that their body parts aren't even real and don't matter, that you can cut your genitals off and somehow become something that you're not, that biology is not real. But can we just leave them alone to have childhood? Again, that invention, this thing that we made, this brand new thing since the Second World War, this sanctity, this non-sexualized, innocent environment, which they can exist in for 12, 13, 14 years and have a really good time before the sexual attention of adulthood comes into the picture, which we can guide them through at that age. They don't need this. But if you want this, if you're desperate to convert your children into abominations, into grotesques, if your frail self-identity requires that you ruin your children, there's lots of other provinces in this federation that you can go and live in. BC will help you out. Ontario will help you out. They're more ensconced in it than anybody else. There's lots of jurisdictions for you to go and live out your dream. Can we have one place? One place for the healthy family, one place for healthy demographics, one place for girls being girls and boys being boys, where this delusion, this madness hasn't taken over? The anti-Saskatchewan party indeed. And I want you to read this one. Actually, I'll just read it to you. This is a proud whatever dude. I am a not I am not a trans woman. I am a woman. A woman who is trans. A trans woman. I am a trans woman. I am a Jewish woman. I'm an American woman. I am a trans Jewish American, single, Yiddish-speaking, green-haired woman. A woman. Not a trans woman. Trans women are women. I was going to go a different direction. Can you imagine for a moment how destabilizing it must be for individuals like that, that their core identity not only is a delusion, but their core identity is something they themselves don't even believe is real and cannot identify? Can you imagine getting up every single day and not being able to define yourself? Is it any wonder why instances of mental illness, suicides, violent outbursts are higher, particularly among men who are LARPing as women versus women who are LARPing as men? They act out, drug addiction, violence, all of these things, because they're living in a state of permanent cognitive dissonance. They don't even know what they are. Their whole identity is denial of reality, a reality which they can't even define. And again, back to the point, as voting begins today here in Saskatchewan, this is now the mainstream of the Saskatchewan NDP. They're not centrist. They're not wise. They are not the answer to the problems that face this province. Don't let them form a government. And I'm going to fixate on this for a while because we've only got a week left to the election. There's plenty of other work to do. There's plenty of other things to talk about. Look, I'll tell you, it's been a month since I've been back to making content. The sheer number of hours I've spent reading articles, going through things, trying to organize thoughts in my head, and basically just getting ready for the future. I haven't even gotten started yet, and I already feel like I've lost all this time with my family. You may have noticed a couple videos are missing. I don't even remember which the first one was. It just the algorithm didn't seem to like it, so I didn't want it on my channel, and then there was that addiction video, and I pulled that one too because what a pain. You know, I talked without identifying anybody of a couple individuals, one being deceased, that have ruined their lives through their addictions and they don't even see it. Well, that person saw that and decided to contact me, and I spent 3 days arguing with this scumbag and their family about calling them a scumbag. As they've literally ruined everybody. They've drained everybody around them of vitality and resources. And they still just make excuses for their terrible lifestyle. And now you find out that Trudeau wants to make it even easier on these clowns. He wants to make a 30-day supply of all hard drugs decriminalized. So it's not even a problem anymore. The addiction, the tent cities, all the things that are happening in this country will just become permanent and more amplified. Everything is breaking around you. Believe the evidence of your eyes. You can't just blame Scott Moe for crime when the courts are controlled at the moment by federal criminal law. When the catch and release policy, violent criminals turned out on the streets over and over and over again to reoffend. There's a process. If you want to fix this, it ain't going to come federally until the cavalry arrives. Hopefully Pierre Poilievre governs the way that he says he's going to govern. I personally have every reason to believe that he will. He has nothing to do but lose if he fails to get tough on these subjects. So maybe there will be some help coming, but it ain't here yet. In the meantime, we've got to hold the line, and we've got to keep promoting provincial autonomy, which this government has done. If you don't like the gender madness, the SAS party's pushing back on it. Reward them for that. If you don't like Ottawa's overreach into Saskatchewan politics, the SAS party, I feel like a broken record, but the Saskatchewan Firearms Act, the Saskatchewan Revenue Act, the rebellion on the carbon tax, the kicking out of the DFO when they tried to get in your dugouts, the Saskatchewan Marshal Service, these are all attempts to pull us back into the territory of provincial autonomy and push Ottawa further away. Even if the Conservatives win in Ottawa, Saskatchewan should still keep on doing that. I can't underemphasize how insane it is that the Sask NDP has fallen so far. It would be fine if they didn't have just such a good track record of destroying the economy, and if and nationally they had such a track record of destruction or just basically propping up Trudeau. But they've gone completely nuts. They're a far-left party. There's nothing centrist about them, and I don't care how they package themselves. I hope you're awake, Sask. I hope you're paying attention, and I hope you're thinking, because this is the most important election in this province's history. I'm Frank Vaughn, and I will see you in the next one, even hungrier than I am right now.